Welcome to the Game On interview. This week we're joined by Perpetual Entertainment's Darren Stinnett. He's the executive producer of Star Trek Online. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dana, and thanks for having me on the show.
It's good to have you. So let's start off with the basic question. How have things been coming so far?
Great. The team's making a ton of progress lately. We're getting a lot of images up on the screen and getting worlds to fly around in and walk around in. We're getting our characters up and running around. And probably most importantly, we're spending a lot of time right now working on our combat, getting that tuned, and just going through a lot of iteration on that, trying to make sure it's as fun as experience as we can make it as early as possible in development so that we can continue to refine it up until the time we launch.
When you say combat, you're referring to space combat, correct?
Well, both space and ground combat, but our focus is on space combat right now because we see that as the most risky or sort of place where we need to innovate the most for the genre, because there's obviously a ton of examples out there of ground-based combat and even a few examples of good ranged combat that you'd expect from the Star Trek series. And so there's a lot for us to pull from there, but in space there aren't a lot of examples. There's Eve Online, there's Earth and Beyond. I don't know if I'm missing something there, but there's not a whole lot of good examples of great space combat, at least in our opinion, and so we feel like there's a lot of innovation that we need to do in order to really make it pay off as a great space-based MMO experience.
When you talk about space combat, you mentioned it's the area where it's the least examples and where you have to be the most innovative. Can you give us some examples of innovations you might be trying?
I don't want to talk about any specifics right now, in terms of actual game features, but it's the whole idea of exploring a space environment and encountering other enemies is something that's been done quite a bit in, RTS-style space games or in space simulation-type games or some other types of games, a lot of flight action games, and I've done a few flight action space games, but it hasn't been done a whole lot as an RPG, and that's, fundamentally, RPGs are about building up a character. In Star Trek, you have your player character, the ground character that you play, that you level up and you equip, but you also have a ship, and we think of that ship like a mount is to other games, and you need to be able to equip that ship and level it up and get new ships as you go along the way, and so making all that work in an RPG environment and making that a lot of fun for the average player and not so difficult that only the most hardcore players can get into it is really a big challenge for us, but one that we've been succeeding at, I think, and everybody's, you can tell by the way the team is having a good time playing what we've put together so far.
Your main competitor in terms of the space end is obviously Eve, and when I was over in Iceland talking to them a couple weeks ago, they were really talking about slowing their combat down, making it more tactical, making it slower. How do you see pacing of space combat as compared to regular ground combat MMOs?
We think in general that the market, and the ground combat anyway, for most MMOs is headed towards a more visceral experience, sort of a more action-oriented RPG mechanic, and there's plenty of examples of that out there, and we're also heading in a similar direction. When we're on the ground, you'll be likely engaging more than one enemy at once, and dealing with enemies maybe more quickly than in traditional MMORPGs. In space, it will go a little bit more slowly. Of course, dealing with large capital ships, they move more slowly, they take a lot more damage, and they deal a lot more damage. So while the two experiences are similar in mechanics between space and ground in a lot of ways, we're differentiating them by making this exact point that you're talking about, sort of working with the pacing of each.
One thing about Star Trek, while we're talking about combat here, the show was often about finding other ways around combat situations, finding peaceful solutions. Are you building those type of things into the game?
We've talked a lot about those things. I can't say that we've actually put them in yet. We have a lot of good ideas in that department. I think that's something that'll make MMOs in general better, and it's one of the things that Star Trek really demands us to figure out is how we can make missions more than, you know, go out and find, 10 Romulan scalps and return them for this reward. We need to do better than that, and we have a lot of good ideas. A lot of it is just good writing and good context, and setting up good scenarios, but we also do have some feature ideas in mind to allow players to succeed in other ways than just blowing someone away.
Speaking of the setting, then, of Star Trek, your game is set just beyond the end of the last series, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It's 20-25 years past the last movie, which was Nemesis.
Okay. And so, how much freedom are you given from your licensors to innovate, change things artistically and thematically throughout the game?
We've been given total freedom. I mean, one of the reasons we picked that time frame is that no one had done anything in that range, at least not with respect to the movies or the television shows, so it gave us a lot of license to create our own world. And, you know, beyond that, we are, you know, the way we think of this is we are adapting Star Trek to the MMO genre, or another way to look at it is that we think of it in terms of creating a whole new series. So we're creating a whole a new visual look. It's a much more exciting look for Star Trek than I think anyone's ever seen before. And I think when people approach it, they're going to realize that this is not just a retread of what's been done before, that this is a whole new world and something to go out and explore and feel like people are participating in Star Trek for the first time again. So we're really excited about that, and CBS, our licensor, has been totally supportive. They are also looking, you know, to take Star Trek in new directions, and they've been really pleased with some of the ideas that we've been coming up with.
There's been rumors floating around of a new movie or show in the Star Trek universe. Do you know anything about it, and are you worried that it might cramp your freedom?
Yeah, I think there was a bit of a concern about that initially. I've done a lot of movie games myself, and I know how difficult that can be to try to build a game at the same time a movie is in production. You know, to be honest, we know about as much as you do and everybody else out there does for reading the news on the internet. But sounds like, for now anyway, it's planned to be a prequel. So it'll be way, hundreds of years out of our way. And so that's just all good, because that gives us the opportunity to incorporate some of the things, you know, potential to incorporate things from the movie without having to deal with, you know, potentially being in conflict with the story that they're coming up with.
Where Star Trek, it's more of a universe than an individual story, but it still has its share of important characters that float around and often bend the rules of timelines. Mm-hmm. Should we anticipate various characters showing up?
Yeah, I can't say I've actually been in negotiations with any of the actors yet, but everything I hear, they're great people to work with and really enjoy working on games. And we do have a list of people that we plan to get involved in the game and make cameo appearances. So definitely that'll happen.
So is it then reasonable to assume there'll be some form of voice acting in the game?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there'll definitely be voice. I mean, I don't know how much yet, but I don't think you can do a Star Trek game without having voice actors, voiceovers in the game. So,
okay. Well, we talked a bit about the combat in space and on land, but what about other aspects that are popular to MMO players, such as exploration?
Yeah, that's been also a big focus for us in the last couple of months. When you look at space and you just start out with what space is, it's really a big empty vacuum, and it's not very exciting to explore. I think Eve has done certain things to help try to improve that, but we want to take that a lot further. Of course, in the show, they get to cut. You know, when they're out in emptiness and blackness of space, they can just cut to when the ship happens to be somewhere exciting. And obviously, you can't do that in an MMO, at least not without breaking up your world severely. So what we have been working on is coming up with a way to render space that is as very exciting, looks like the kind of places you might imagine or hope are somewhere out there, but in our game they're everywhere, and it makes for a much more enjoyable environment to wander around in and to, you know, find out what's around the next planet, explore and see new wondrous things. And so that's been a big part of our exploration. There's a lot of new technology that goes into pulling that effect off, a lot of great art that goes into that as well. And so it's been a constant source of R&D for us.
What about on land? It's in space, it's, I would assume everyone's all together flying around their spaceships, but on land, are you planning to do little instance pockets of land for players to do specific missions, or will there be rolling hills and large areas to explore?
I answer that in a couple ways. One, there will be rolling hills in large areas. I mean, there will be very large areas for players to beam down to and explore, and there'll be plenty of those. There'll also be the traditional, little tiny pocket of content that you'll beam down to. Think of it like a typical set on the TV show. And so we'll have a robust mix of both. Just because we have a small pocket of content doesn't always mean it's going to be instanced, though. I mean, I think at some level when a small beam down place gets too small, you probably do want to make it instanced just so players aren't bumping into each other. But we're trying to keep the balance. We tend to like more public open area games, at least, in terms of our tastes on the game development team. We like more of an open area game with perhaps a smaller percentage of instance areas for those really tight mission scenarios where you don't want to run into any other players. But we like this, we tend to like the large open areas so that it encourages good social interaction between the MMO players.
In the past when we spoke, you've always said that there's sort of or you're intending at least a 50-50 balance between your avatar and in space. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it is. We'll see how that pans out once we get it up and running. It ultimately comes down to what we enjoy playing most. I have a feeling that if we enjoy playing space more, it'll drift more in the direction of space, and obviously vice versa if we enjoy playing ground more. So it's one of the nice things about Star Trek for us is that we didn't have to sit down and draw a continent and figure out what's going to go on every corner of that continent. It's space, it's wide open, we can create new content anywhere we want. We can easily drop in content even after launch, and it's just a matter of dropping a new planet into the world. And then on that planet can be endless amounts of area to explore. So we have a very flexible environment, and we plan to take advantage of that to find the best possible mix. But it's absolutely true that for right now, our plan is 50-50, and I think it's going to stay pretty close to that.
So right now in the MMO landscape, Eve would be your primary competitor, at least in terms of a game that takes place in space. What lessons have you learned from Eve, and how do you feel your game will differentiate itself from them?
I think we see Eve as certainly one of our competitors. Obviously with Star Trek, we're going to be a lot more than just a space-based game. Having a character that you level up and explore planets with is a big part of it. So it's hard to compare it one for one. And I'm truly impressed with what they've accomplished. Though I think it's a very hardcore experience. I think it takes a lot of time to learn how to get into that game and learn how to play. I know with my own experience and with the experience of a lot of other team members, it's obviously very rewarding once you spend time figuring out how to play in that world that they've created. We feel like we have a responsibility to create an experience that is more accessible than what they've created, something that's going to be easier to get into and enjoy right off the bat, but ultimately holds your interest for a long period of time with a lot of depth that unfolds once you scratch the surface.
So that brings me into the different types of players. There's obviously the hardcore players, and the people who read our site and listen to this podcast are likely more in that regard, and then there's the casual players. How do you hope to capture both?
Well, it's the age-old question. I think that a well-designed game does capture both because it is, companies are lazy when they are, teams are lazy when they build a game that's so hard to get into, that takes a long time to learn. There's a lot of things you can do to make a game accessible yet still deep. And that's a big focus for us. And you have to design your game in such a way that you don't present all the complexity right up front, that the complexity tends to unfold over time. And I think that everybody enjoys an experience like that, whether they're hardcore or casual.
You guys have chosen to pick the Federation as your primary focus in terms of races, ships, and space. Why did you do this, and what do you have to say to those people who really, really want, say, Romulans or Klingons or Borg or whatever?
Well, this question has a long history. When we started out, we knew that to make a great Star Trek game and a great Starfleet game, that we would have to take advantage of a lot of the mechanics that you see in Starfleet and in the Federation. Things like rank and the way chain of command is handled, and the way training's handled, the way that missions are handed out, and the way rewards are given. All those things. There's a lot of sort of characteristics of Starfleet that we really needed to deliver on, and we were worried that if we went and tried to do other races that had a totally different set of structures in the way they ran their societies, that we'd be building, we're already building two games at some level, right? Because we have space and ground. We don't want to have to then, take on a whole different kind of society model and model that as well. And so we were just looking at it from a point of view of wanting to focus on a few things and do it really well. But over time, as we got more and more into the design, I think we realized that one way or the other, people still do want to play a lot of these different factions, and they want to feel like they're part of something other than, being part of the military structure is great. I think people want to do that. I think there's people that want to have a more independent existence in the world. And so we've actually brought in a lot of different races to allow us to deliver that, and we've created a faction system within the game that allows players to join different factions while still being part of the Federation, which is totally in line with canon. And it works rather nicely, especially in our time frame. And this allows players to, can't say that we're creating factions to be at war with each other, but it certainly creates a sense of people that are generally working towards the same goals, but not always have the exact, not always an exact alignment. And that, just like in any organization, you always end up with different sort of sub-factions within the organization. There's a lot of material for us to work with, and we plan to take that quite a ways.
Does that mean there will be some elements of PvP?
Oh, sure. There definitely will be. We'll certainly have sort of casual PvP, we'll call it war games, where people can just strike up a PvP match, anywhere they want, if two people want to get involved. We're also talking about larger scale PvP areas for the game, sort of a Wild West for the game, and we'll see if we get there by launch. It's obviously a lot of work to do to get that stuff up and running, but it's something that we've been talking about.
So when you chose to do the Federation and then some factions within, does that mean you will then opt to do other areas and other races in expansions?
Yeah, for sure. Although I think we're hitting a lot of the really great ones in the initial product. And our list of races has changed. I'm not ready to talk about them quite yet, because there's a lot to talk about that in that area, and we want to reveal it when we're ready to show a lot of graphics and things like that. There are races that we're not covering as deeply as we would like to, and there's some of them that will make great expansion races.
So for the future, right now the game has been pretty quiet. There's a couple screenshots floating around, but not much else. When do you guys plan to ramp up the noise, so to speak?
Yeah, we are keeping a fairly low profile. Part of that is because we're just so heads down working on building the basic game right now, and dealing with PR requests and things like that certainly can be very time consuming. I can't say there's a particular date in mind right now. It'll probably be sometime in the early part of next year, and I think people can. We'll get the sense that we're probably about, when we think that we're about a year out from launch is when we'll ramp up the PR machine. So we're not there yet, so we're working on it.
And then the final obligatory question, when is, beta?
How many people answer that question, Dana?
Not a single one in the history of the podcast, but so I have to ask.
Yeah, I'm not going to break that trend. These things are just too enormous to predict at this point. I mean, as we get closer and we start to get into betas, and I think as we start doing beta cycles, we'll get a clearer picture of when we're going to launch. But there's so much to get together, and of course, you never know quite what you have until you start getting players in the game, and then you start figuring out what it's really going to take to launch. It's one of the things that makes these games a lot of fun to build, but hard to predict. So we're, I can say we're at least a year out because we haven't started that PR campaign I mentioned, but I can't really say for sure where we're at beyond that.
Okay, well, let me ask you in a different way then. Do you, what kind of beta test do you guys believe in? Do you want to do the long World of Warcraft style test that goes on forever, or are you more the big giant open beta right before launch type crew?
I think, you know, I would suspect that every developer wants to do the longer open beta that World of Warcraft had. They certainly had a long development cycle that allowed them to do that, and they had a bunch of experience with doing that kind of stuff from other products, so they were able to do that. I think we're going to have the opportunity to do that as well, because we're building on top of existing technology that the company has built for another title called Gods and Heroes. And that's going to put us in a position to, I mean, you know, just to give an example, we're logging into our servers and we're playing, you know, multiplayer games and having multiple players in the game, you know, today. And a lot of games have, a lot of other games in development have a difficult time achieving that this early because they're, you know, building up their technology for the first time, and that forces them into a position where they're not able to go and have a beta until late in the process. But with our technology in place, we'll have the opportunity to open up and do probably private betas, small private betas, throughout the last year of development. So people will get the opportunity to check it out. But it, of course, won't be till the very end until we open it up and do a public beta.
And for a final question then, do you have any plans in terms of retail publishing, or more specifically, given Gods and Heroes is published by Sony? Mm-hmm. Is that something people should expect with Star Trek?
Sony is just our partner for Gods and Heroes. We actually don't have a publisher in mind for Star Trek yet. Star Trek is being entirely funded by Perpetual, which has been great for us because it gives us a lot of freedom to figure out how we want to proceed with this. So I don't honestly know who will publish it, and actually another way to think about this is, you know, at some levels, Gods or Perpetual will publish it. Just in the way with Gods and Heroes, we are operating Gods and Heroes, so Sony is handling the distribution and marketing side of things for them. But we'll see what happens with Star Trek.
Okay. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. It was a pleasure to have you.
You bet. It's always a pleasure for me as well. Thanks, Dana.
Take care.